This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. I hope this Memorial Day weekend you've had a moment or a few moments to think about the sacrifice of those who have really put us in the places that we are here in these United States. In other words, those who have died in our nation's wars. And how significant Decoration Day is what it used to be called, now Memorial Day, and the whole weekend. And it started during the American Civil War. There were citizens, especially women, placed flowers on the graves of the people who had been killed in battle, the soldiers, both from the North and the South. More than a half dozen places say that they're the birthplace of this holiday. In the first hour, I talked about a couple of those places that included Savannah and Charleston and Gettysburg even. And it's interesting when you look at some of the traditions, by congressional proclamation in the 60s, the 66, Waterloo, New York was cited as the birthplace. Also in 1866, the observance. So we could argue about what's the birthplace, but the significance in those wanting to claim it, I think, is a good thing because it means that we're honoring those that have given the ultimate sacrifice and showed the courage and everything else, the belief to do with what is necessary. After World War I, the day came to be observed as those who had died in all U.S. wars. So that's when it changed from Decoration Day to Memorial Day. And since 71, Memorial Day has been observed on the last Monday in May. And Memorial Day is observed with the laying of a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns in Arlington National Cemetery in Arlington, Virginia. There's parades, you may have been to some, speeches, flags, flowers are placed on the graves of veterans in local cemeteries. And it's very, very significant. I love the fact that we went from Decoration Day to Memorial Day, and I love the fact that people really do honor and really do care about maybe people in their past histories of their families or people close to them or their own families, whatever it might be. In my family, many, many, many have served, and luckily there are some that came back with Purple Hearts, but nobody in my family line that I'm aware of lost their life. They gave sacrifice, ultimate sacrifices in other ways, and served again and again and again, but we don't have that in my family tree that I'm aware of, that actually never, they didn't come home. My grandfather served in the military in World War II, and I proudly have his flag in my dining room area. The soldiers actually at his gravesite had folded it up, given it to my nephew, and my family, we are now passing a tradition of passing it around, and I have it in my home, and it really is significant to me. So thank you to anyone who's listening whose families have made that ultimate sacrifice. This is a very, very heavy weekend for lots of different reasons. Uvalde and what happened there is still on the minds of so many. As the shooting continued, officers were questioning a commander's decision to wait. Now that's what we're hearing. The Department of Justice announced on Sunday that they're going to do an investigation. So from the first minutes after a gunman began shooting, officers descended on that elementary school, local police in the town of Uvalde, the county sheriff's deputies, agents from the Federal Border Patrol. We know the tactical units took him out ultimately. But none of the growing number of agencies had control over all of those officers at the scene on Tuesday of what would become the deadliest school shooting since that horrible, disgraceful, disgusting, awful massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School, which was a decade ago. So that fell to the police, that fell ultimately, the decision fell to the chief of a small police department where this was just created, I guess, as I'm to understand, only 4 years ago to help provide security at Uvalde's 8 schools. The chief, Pedro Arredondo, had ordered the assembled officers to hold off on storming the 2 adjoining classrooms where the gunman had already fired more than 100 rounds at the walls the door and the terrified fourth graders locked inside with him. So now here we are in the middle of Memorial Day. There was supposed to be barbecues and parades to do exactly what I said you do on Memorial Day. And instead, there's outrage and just complete disbelief and questions over the chief and the role of the police and whether any of the 21 lives that were lost could have been saved if they had gotten there soon enough. As I mentioned, the specially trained agents from the Border Patrol, we know this to be true now, of course, arrived more than 40 minutes after the shooting had begun, had yelled for permission to go in and confront the gunman, and boom, that was, you know, they did. They went in, ultimately, and that happened. Transitioning to Memorial Day weekend, that's really tough for some people as far as traveling. Airline travelers were, unfortunately, trapped. More than 1,200 flights were canceled as of, like, 2 o'clock Eastern on Saturday. 2,300 cancellations on Friday. Delta had the worst. Delta's really had a lot of cancellations lately. They had 9% of their operations eliminated on Saturday. Delta's base has one of its largest hubs, the largest hub, of course, in Atlanta. It was affected by travel delays. And you can only imagine all these various factors, that weather, air traffic control, vendor staffing, COVID case rates, they say, were hurting them too. But boy, this has people in an uprage. And I'll tell you what, renting a car, that's what some people are doing. They jump in a car and take off, because if they're trying to get to whatever the destination is, especially if they have to be there for whatever the significant reason is, then if they're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and then trying to get rebooked, all those other people are trying to get rebooked. And I've talked about my horror stories where that's happened to me, and then you get thrown into this line and you miss. What happens is you miss the opportunities to get on some of these flights because already other people have book the flights because they're stranded too. All right, one of the things that I did this Memorial Day weekend is went to see Top Gun. You think about it, 36 years after the original film, Top Gun Maverick. And Top Gun Maverick, I talked about this on the show, premiered on Naval Air Station North Island near San Diego. Several of the scenes were shot there. There were sailors in front of the base theater. Actor Tom Cruise was there, and he talked about it's a celebration of the Navy and aviation and our country. And Paramount apparently paid the Navy more than $5 million. Most of the money was spent to retrofit real F-18 Super Hornets with cameras. Real Navy pilots do the flying, putting the actors and the audience in the background, in the cockpit. I saw it. It was brilliant. I loved it. I did. I thought it was great. I liked the first one, and I was just a kid when I saw the first one. This one was wonderful. Wonderful. And Navy recruiting went up, by the way, just as a quick aside here, 500% after the first Top Gun movie came out. I don't know if it will do that to recruiting, but I know that reportedly, and we don't know till the whole weekend's over, but at least 240 million worldwide, I believe, has come in already. And I'm not surprised, because that's all I'm seeing everywhere. People are talking about, go see Top Gun. It's wonderful. And it is. It's a good story. It's well done. The all of what you see with the Navy, it's no doubt that they flew the planes, because you can tell when you watch it. All right, stay with us on this Memorial Day weekend.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Is in our virtual green room. He's a TEDx speaker, a relationship building expert, an author, an innovator, a structural integration therapist. I love that title. And he's the creator of Beck Balance Wellness Workshops and so much more, the founder of Give Beck. Here's what I like. He teaches people how to transform relationships through service to others. And he really did it. He lived it. I said it going into the break. Can you imagine getting rid of all of your possessions, going to every single state, and doing service for a person, a family in every single state, not asking for anything except for that the people pay it forward? And that's exactly what he did. James Beck, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here.
So you and I talked off the air, and we talked about what you did, and I want to give a little bit of the background to this story. Why did you do this in the first place? If you wind the clock back, 10-plus years ago, what drove you to do what you did?
I found myself opposite in the way a lot of people find themselves. Instead of in a bad place, I found myself in a very good place at the top of a mountain, at the peak of my decision. But then I looked around and I found that I climbed the wrong mountain. And I was unhappy. My relationships were falling apart from neglect. I was around a lot of people. I was lonely. I was making money and I, you know, had good business stuff going, but it just didn't seem to have any meaning or fulfillment. And I felt like I had an idea and that I'd been playing with for actually several years, about a decade. I've been working on it, on how to rewire the mind. And I'd written a book and I was like, okay, are you really legit? Do you really know this? Or are you just brilliant in your bedroom and just going to talk about it on dinner parties all the time? And so it was like either put up or shut up. And so it was kind of a reckoning when I was December 1st, 2010. I was looking at myself in the mirror after I got out of the shower, and I was naked, you know, when you're just, all the flaws are just right there in front of you, and I was like, you know, you don't fool me. You sling this, and you make your life look good on the outside, but you don't fool me. And I wanted to look at myself in the mirror and be proud and like have that glint in your smile to where you're, like, you're happy with the way your choices are. And it was like, you know, I just realized that I needed to change everything around. So what do you do when you want to become a better man or new human? You have to press the reset button. So it was also the one thing that I felt like every person that I knew, I grew up in a very religious household, but it was also like, you know, maybe it wasn't the best examples always of what faith could be like, but it was that renunciation of possessions that I thought, you know, if I could do that and I could live in a state of service, that would prove to me that at least I'm not a fraud. At least my belief system is legit, and it would teach me what I need to learn, you know, kind of set me off and reset things on the right path. So that's why I did it.
You do this, and then you come out of it after going to all these states and meeting all these different people and doing various things to help people. That had to be an incredible game changer for you, life changing, was it, obviously?
Well, it was. It was, you know, every week or every new week, it was a new experience, a new family. I couldn't rest on my life or my possessions. It was almost like destroying my mind. Like I couldn't rest on any of the habits that I had before. I had to truly live and just be giving and loving and hope that that was enough. Hope that humanity is good enough to where it would, like, you know, if humans are good, then this will work. And if they're not, then I'm up a creek. But betting everything on service, it was one of those things that I was looking at. Okay, every religion, the apex of being a yogi, being a Christian, being, you know, Jewish religion, Islam, you have Hindu, they talk about service and protect and serve police or the military going into the service. And I thought, well, what if I just reverse engineered it and instead of getting there one day, start there and immerse my whole life in it? What type of human would I become if that's what my primary focus was versus later on down the road? And it has completely transformed everything. I mean, my life is amazing. I feel like I want to tell everyone, like, hey, instead of talking in a religious fashion to where a lot of people are like, you have to do this, I wish people could hear my tone and say, you have to do this. It's amazing how it transforms everything. It's like a royal way to exist, and relationships are better. Opportunities are better. Everything aligns and flows in a direction to where I don't have to work at doing something. You feel like the powers that be in the universe are working and conspiring in your favor.
Yeah, and now take that giving and you teach people and organizations how to use that mindset, that service mindset, to build and maintain and grow and repair relationships. And it has to have just an incredible effect, I would imagine, a ripple effect.
So what I do is I teach companies how to transform their corporate culture into a cooperative community by using service. And kind of using the principles that were distilled throughout the country. You know, every state taught me at least one great lesson, if not 3, 4, 5, 10. But as, you know, you grow and you transform, you recognize patterns that are universal with humans. And it has nothing to do with individual people or experiences, but you kind of feel those flows. And then now, being able to work with, I started off working with the military and helping with, they have some challenges with PTSD and rewiring the brain and removing some of that trauma. And I grew up in a foster home. I'm not a foster child, but I have 38 foster sisters and 11 foster brothers, and it's a very intense upbringing. So there was an internal goal when I launched out on this journey because I was used to having a lot of anxiety myself. And if I'm going to rewire my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have two goals, an internal one and an external one. And the internal one was to remove my anxiety, PTSD, from childhood experiences. And then the external goal was to, you know, create this larger-than-life game, so to speak. I feel like when we play, we seek difficult things to do. You know, we do hard things, you know. When we play, we slay the dragon. When we play our video games or when we play, we run to a point of exhaustion for a point. Like, literally, play games for a point and we're killing our bodies. And when we play, as human beings, we play to save the day. And so how do we encourage our race to play again together, to be children again together? And so usually it takes being, serving together. And so I learned, as I went around the country, experiencing how when you serve another human being and you just give them time without any attachment to the time, and you just like, hey, whatever you want. And they're like, can you clean my baseboards? Sure. Can you clean my garage? Sure. Can you babysit my kids? Sure. Like, here are you have these days. And then they come back and you did a good job. I found that I never once I tried to tell people what I thought or believed. In fact, I intentionally tried to avoid it. But I found it almost always on the second day and universally by the third day. When you serve someone and you just give them time, they're like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. What do you believe? This is so cool. And they're like, give me some of that belief instead of we get stuck into trying to proselytize and push what we think. I think if we were just to say, look at faith and religion and realize that it's more ability than it is obligation, I think things would change towards the better.
Yeah, what a perfect place to end this. What a great human being. You can find out more about James Beck by going to givebeck.com. All roads are there with what he does and how you could hire him or how you could buy his book or any of that kind of stuff and more on his story. Thanks, James.
Thank you for having me.
Terrific. Just amazing to think about paying it forward. Like he said, the things that he did, could you do that? And then the reaction to the people when he did those things, like saying cleaning the baseboards and whatever it was, clean my garage. Just an amazing story, an amazing guy. Hang with us. I'll meet you on the flip side.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden visited the Uvalde school where a murderer killed 19 children and two teachers, and the Justice Department said it will review law enforcement's response to the attack. This as Democrats and Republicans continue to discuss new legislation to prevent such attacks from happening. New Jersey Democratic Senator Cory Booker gets candid about his expectations regarding the discussions.
Well, whatever we can get done, if it saves a life, it's worth doing. And so my colleagues who are entering the bipartisan talks, I fully support that. But I'm under no illusion that we're going to do the things that need to be done, that the majority of Americans overwhelmingly support Republican and Democrat, that can create significant safety.
That audio courtesy of NBC's Meet the Press. California Governor Gavin Newsom testing positive for COVID-19. This is USA Radio News. Memorial Day weekend gas prices are at a 10-year high. The national average is now $4.60 a gallon, the highest price in the United States in 10 years. The increasing cost of gas isn't stopping drivers from hitting the road, and AAA predicts over 35 million people will travel by car this weekend. That marks a 5% increase from last year. Regarding high gas prices, Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz believes the administration is happy to see them.
The Biden administration is slow-walking permits at every stage. This is deliberate. It's not an accident.
Pope Francis is preparing to name nearly two dozen new cardinals. In his announcement Sunday, the Pope saying he's going to appoint 21 cardinals in August. Of that number, 16 will be eligible to vote for the Pope's successor. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Curiosity always got you guessing, questions spinning round in your mind.
Wow, this is a real treat for us. Steve Tyrell is backstage virtually. He's got a new album coming out. It's called Shades of Ray. And imagine having the chance to record with the legendary Ray Charles. But Steve Tyrell has his own impressive resume, I'll call it. It goes back to, you think of Curiosity, the theme song, which he wrote for a show I used to watch, an 80s show called Snoops. And he also had his music featured in several other areas, and he's performed at the White House for Presidents George Bush and Bill Clinton, Buckingham Palace. He hosts a popular radio show in Los Angeles, and the list goes on and on. But we want to get to him and talk to him about his music and this collaboration that he had a long time ago with Ray Charles that now is finally coming out. Steve, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, you know.
Tell me about Ray Charles. What was it like to record with Ray Charles?
Oh, it was great. First of all, he's my hero, really, from the time I started in my first high school band. I did Ray Charles songs right off. What I Say, I used to sing at every gig. So he was like a really, really important figure in my life in terms of inspiration. So to finally get to meet him and work with him was a dream come true.
As a person, I've heard great stories about him. I never had the opportunity to meet him. But what was it like being around him?
Well, we had a great time. I've done a lot of television and movie music over the years,
yeah.
You know, and I had done a show before the Snoops, which I wrote Curiosity for, with Tim Reed. Tim Reed was on WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And anyway, we became friends, and when he got this show, Snoops, he asked me to write the theme song for it. So I did, and I knew that Ray Charles was a fan of Tim's, because we used to do a show called Frank's Place in the 90s, and it was great. It was about a blues bar, and it was sort of like a black version of Cheers. You know, it was about a blues bar in New Orleans. And the jukebox was like a character that played all this great music. And I did all the music for it. And Ray Charles loved it. So he got a hold of us to tell us how much he liked that show. So the next show up was Snoop's. And I wrote this tune, and I told Tim Reed, the star of it, I said, hey, man, why don't we send it to Ray and see if he'll sing it? So we did. And he had never done, his manager said, well, I don't know if he'll do a theme song for a TV show. He's never done that in his whole career. He kind of is against that sort of thing, you know? And I said, well, you know, can you play it for him and we'll see? So we sent it to him, his manager, and Ray agreed to do it. Now, in the meantime, that was a CBS show. And in the meantime, they changed some of the pictures in the opening titles and asked me to rewrite, or my wife at the time, rest her soul, Stephanie, to rewrite a couple of the lyrics to fit the new pictures they put in. And so we did, and so we sent it to Ray with the new version with the different lyrics, and I guess his manager never gave it to him. So when he walked in, you know, and I met him for the first time, he asked me to raise the key from the demo I sent him, a half a step. And he said, did you raise the key? I said, yeah, man. And he said, well, play it for me. He said, by the way, who is that cat singing? And I said, he was just like that, I swear. I said, that was me. He said, beautiful, man, beautiful. And that, which was like the highest, you know, compliment I'd ever gotten in my life. It was from Ray Charles telling me, like, the way I was singing it. And anyway, when he started to hear it, he realized we had changed some of the lyrics. And he said, where did those lyrics come from, man? And I said, well, the network asked us to change them. I didn't want to throw his manager under the bus, you know, and say, I sent it to you, man. You mean they never gave it to you? And he said, well, I don't have my machine. He didn't have his Braille machine, you know. Yeah. And I said, well, sing anything you want. Who cares? You're Ray Charles. Sing the old lyrics. What are they going to do, fire you, man? I said, get them to change the pictures back the way they used to be. He said, no, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do this recession, just me and you. You're going to sing me a line, and I'm going to sing it back to you 10 times, maybe, until we get it exactly the way you want it. And we did the whole song that way.
Wow.
Like, I was giving Ray Charles a line reading on every song. You know, that just never happens.
No.
Nobody would ever have the nerve to do that, number one. You know, say, Ray, sing it like this.
Oh.
And I taught him every line of that song. And when we got to the bridge, I thought that I had written it where I came in on the downbeat, you know. And Ray was coming in after the downbeat. Or vice versa. I can't remember which one was which. Downbeat or before or after. Anyway, I told him, come in after the downbeat. And he says, man, you didn't come in after the downbeat. I said, I think I did. He said, play the tape. And of course, he was right, you know. He was, and I was wrong. And we got a big laugh out of that. He said, hey, look here, brother. Let me do the singing and you do the produce it. And we just, you know, just had the best time. Curiosity was one of the highest days of my life. And it, you know, he learned the song. I taught it to him. We recorded it, and it's on the main title. But the show didn't really make it. So it never got really released on anything, and nobody ever knew it. So when I finally made my Ray Charles album, Ray had passed away. So I had to get approval, you know, from him, and I couldn't. So I had to get it from his estate. So I sent a letter to his estate and his son, and they heard it, and they said, yeah, man, that's beautiful. You can use it. So it became my bonus track on this album, Shades of Ray.
Yeah, oh, I love it. I love your story. And you had the past year to kind of hunker down and do that and put on that album, right?
Yeah, plus make the whole album. I always wanted to make a Ray Charles album, but quite honestly, I never thought I was worthy or anybody was worthy. You don't see many Ray Charles albums. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done a Disney album, a Backrack album, a Sinatra album, all kinds of people, but I was always a little bit hesitant to think about recording a Ray Charles album. You know, I'm thinking, who the hell wants to hear me sing this when you can hear Brother Ray himself, you know? But
yeah,
this pandemic allowed me to finish it and concentrate on it. Every time I would go in the studio to make, well, this is my 13th album, to make another album, I would do a Ray Charles song, you know, and just hoping one of these days I would have the nerve to finish. And I did, and I'm very happy with it, and people seem to really like it so far.
Yeah, yeah, curiosity is amazing, and again,
check out
you,
some of the other ones.
Yeah, you're an incredibly talented human. There's no doubt about it. All the Grammys that you've won, and the producing, like he was talking about before, and not realizing you were the singer, but it really took off for you as a singer, right? When you did "The Way You Look Tonight" and "Father of the Bride."
Exactly. Yeah, that changed my life. Really, I didn't really want to be an artist. I was very happy being a writer and a producer and behind the scenes, and it gave me an opportunity to work with a lot of great people. You know, Linda Ronstadt. We won a Grammy with "Somewhere Out There" with James Ingram and Linda Ronstadt. That got nominated for an Oscar. You know, and it started a whole trend because that was the first song from an animated feature that was a hit, you know.
Yeah.
But Steven Spielberg was directing it. So by being a producer, I've been able to work with a lot of artists. And that was always my main goal. And a lot of times I'd work on a movie, like I worked on Mystic Pizza. You probably don't even remember that. That was Julia Roberts'
No, I know
movie.
Mystic Pizza, yeah.
Well, I'm singing all over that movie.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And just by accident, what would happen was I would be working on the movie and doing the music, and I would make a demo of something, and invariably the director would say, well, why don't you just sing it in the movie, you know? And they put my version in the movie. And that happened all the way till Father of the Bride. Father of the Bride, I had to record "The Way You Look Tonight" for the band to play at the reception. And Steve Martin, if you remember, he's all shook up. He's trying to get to the reception, and the police come, and they got too many cars parked, and he's running all over the place. And when he finally walks in, the band is playing "The Way You Look Tonight." Well, the band was me and my guys, you know. And every time, I remember when we shot that in Father of the Bride, we had all kinds of extras. It was the biggest day of the movie because it was the reception scene, you know. So all the actors were there, all kinds of extras. And every time we would play back "The Way You Look Tonight" and shoot it, we shot, I don't know how many versions of it, different angles and stuff. The audience would come up to me and say, "Sir, did you write that song?" You know?
Yeah,
why,
crazy.
Why, is that going to be on the soundtrack?
Yeah.
Now, we got a lot of response right from the set, you know? So
right.
I told Nancy Myers and Charles Shire, I said, why don't you put this song over the end of the movie? And when they leave to go on their honeymoon, let this come back and be, you know, the main song of the movie. And I'll produce it with somebody like Ray Charles or Rod Stewart, maybe. And I'd do it with a big orchestra. And I'd be the guy singing it at the reception. But at the end, it would come back with a big orchestra and Ray Charles or Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it ended up being me.
Yeah, it worked. It worked, and it worked for you. Steve Tyrell, we could talk all day long. You're amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Go and get this. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Someday, when I'm awful low, when the world is cold,
do you have the
those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I am very excited about this game-changing book, seriously. We are going to Australia for a conversation with Kim Wasley. Her book, Children's Drawings Interpreted, How to Understand Children Through Handwriting, Drawing, Doodles, Shapes, and Lines. Oh, my, oh, my. I wish that she was around when I was a kid because I have no idea what the interpretation would be. But I could imagine the things that you could find out, and that's the brilliance of this. Imagine if you had a better roadmap all the way around. Kim, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Lovely to be here.
So what was the road to you writing this book?
Well, Kate, I actually first was exposed to handwriting analysis at the age of 12 myself, and then became a handwriting expert working within the court system for police, legal, corporate, and gradually transitioned into helping children because there was such a need there. And this is where drawings became more important because, of course, children still learning to get their words and their sentence structure. So they don't talk very much, but they all draw. And this was where the fascination developed for me, that we actually all drawn to particular shapes. Psychological study, the study of shapes and why are we drawn to them. So looking at the symbolism in handwriting and then taking that same symbolism and applying it to drawings was really just for me, it was a natural progression.
Wow, so you put this book together, and then you have to kind of pare it down. What do I put in? What don't I put down? You've had lots of success with lots of people in your life going down this path, which is tremendous. You've helped so many children who now have gone on to become very successful adults in whatever field that they're in. So you have to be very thrilled about that. But how do you pull it in? How do you decide what stories get in? And tell us some of those stories.
Well, I look at the different components of a picture. And there are just so many stories. I've given quite a few in the book, but you can imagine there's many more. And I really try to show you in the story what those different components are, the house, the tree, and then the family. So, for example, I had a woman come and see me with three children. She'd recently got divorced, and she said to me, "I'm actually terrified of my four-year-old." She was really scared of her four-year-old. An adorable looking little child, but an absolute little hell on wheels. And she was unable to control this child. And what had happened with after the divorce, the child had just refused to listen to her with anything. Tantruming all the time, being deceitful, stealing things. And one look at the drawing, well, the little girl had drawn herself bigger than all the other family members. She placed herself above the other family members. She used an incredibly strong pressure, which is anger, and a lot of angles in her drawing. So the combination of all those four things showed that there was a real problem with control with this little girl. So Mum had to actually show her that she wasn't able to assume the dad's role. No, Mum was the one in charge. And so that way we were able to help the little girl to actually have boundaries, have structure, and really just, you know, resort back to being a child as opposed to trying to be the new controller in the family.
Wow. So what a difference that must have made in the lives of that whole family.
Absolutely. If that little girl, if they hadn't brought her to me at that time or sent her drawings to me, who knows, she could have really, you know, had a life of crime by now.
Wow. And you know, I said it in the title, so we'll say it again. Children's Drawings Interpreted, How to Understand Children Through Handwriting, Drawing, Doodles, Shapes, and Lines. And you talked about the significance of shapes. So give us a little taste of that. And, of course, everyone's going to have to buy the book to get the real meat and the incredibleness of this and the significance of it. But I like the idea that we're telling them a few of the secrets. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, thank you, Ray. Yeah, Kate, so children and adults will use shapes sometimes. So this little girl in the book, she used heart shape for her mother and herself. And then for the male entity, she used a star. And we find that also very much in the LGBTIQ community, where they will use shapes instead of actually trying to depict either the male or female form. So there's just so much, as you can see, I'm really passionate about it, and there's so much information in what people do and how much they're governed by the subconscious in what they do. They don't even realize why they're doing it. So by looking at drawings and being able to say, you're a very lateral thinker, for example. You use something different. You don't think like you and I do. You think out of the box. So you're actually choosing a shape to depict a person. So it's fascinating to see how the human mind is involved in even a simple line on a piece of paper.
Was this fun for you to do this project?
Really fun. Yeah, really fun. Because I've had the drawings, you know, over the years, I've got the stories, but they're all in my head. So to be able to share them and to be able to actually have people, the few people that have looked at the book, have said, "Oh no, hang on, I can't put it down. I'm carrying it everywhere with me. It's in the kitchen, then it's in the bathroom." And yeah, and that's a real thrill to sort of see that people are intrigued and so fascinated by what you actually can learn. There's such a wealth of information. And having worked for over 20 years in the field, you just get so much feedback from people as well. And that feedback is really invaluable. And then me realizing, oh, okay, that's, you know, developing. It's a science, and it's developing all the time as we actually see, oh, yes, both those children had autism. And I'm looking and seeing, okay, both of them drew adults without two eyes, but only one eye. All sorts of things where it's a constantly evolving field.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds like every day, week, month, year, something new comes up, something different happens, because obviously culture changes. I mean, look what we've gone through if you look at the last couple of years, and if you take it by the decades, and then where children are, because I guess you have to meet the children where they're at, right?
That's it. That's it. What developmental level they're at. You know, they might be four, but they could have the mentality of a two-year-old. You know, I've got a 17-year-old in the book who's autistic and has drawn the family members on the toilet. So now, you know, the mother was mortified when she brought that that drawing to me. Like, excuse me, I'm so sorry, but this is what my child drew. And I was like, perfect. Whatever your child draws, please don't censor it. Bring it to me. And that's quite normal, you know, that when they go through those different developmental ages, particularly boys, they're fascinated with, you know, farts and poo and all those things. So it's just normal. But of course, if we see that in a 20-year-old, we know there's big problems. It's all relative to the age that the child is at.
But it's wonderful that you said, don't censor it. Just let's see the whole thing. And that's what the book is about. So in this book, that's what you really get. Children's Drawings Interpretive. I mean, those are very easy to remember. Kim Wassily, that's who we are talking to. Of course, she's the author. How to Understand Children Through Handwriting, Drawing, Doodles, Shapes, and Lines. And there's a website, drawingsinterpreted.com, so you can certainly go there. Obviously, the book, you can get it a lot of different places, including Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all those great places as well. What do you ultimately hope people take away from reading your book?
I want to give children everywhere a voice. They don't use words. They use drawings. And I want, there's so many children out there who have become nonverbal. Either they're on the spectrum, perhaps they've become so involved and engrossed with technology that they're no longer communicating. Teenagers, we know, just naturally aren't as communicative. But these really young children that aren't communicating, parents don't know what to do with them. They don't know how to help them. And this is where drawings give those children a voice. So the nonverbal child is a big field in itself. But we have teenagers, and so many people saying, how do I give this child the very best start in life and direct them from a very young age, so that they can be happy and successful.
Perfect place to end this. Congratulations on your book, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Kate. It's been a pleasure.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. Or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. Or by calling 818-965-9113.